Imagine your current goal is to train for the Boston Marathon. You have all your training on point. Your nutrition is on point. You know that last time that you qualified for Boston, qualified with air quotations, they cut you off short because of how their system works. And this time, your goal is to PR less than 5 minutes, which is an eternity in the running world. You're running your race. You're coming down to the finish line, and you start to cramp up. Everything is working out. Everything is flowing. Everything is happening the way it should be. You know you're ahead of your pace, and the cramping comes, so you have to stop. You pull over. You rub your legs out. You try to rub those cramps away, and then you get back on track, and you know that you still have time to PR, to make it to that Boston qualifier. And the only thing that you can think about is telling your legs to not cramp up one more time before you get to the finish line. Today I'm bringing on Devin Blessing. He is a doctor of physical therapy and vice president of operations at Evolution Physical Therapy in Los Angeles. He works with clients at the Evolution Physical Therapy South Bay location and is passionate about helping runners and triathletes stay healthy and perform better. He himself competes in marathons and triathlons of Olympic and half Ironman distances. He's a two-time Boston Marathon qualifier and is currently training for the 2020 Boston Marathon, which is what my beginning story explained. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running podcast. All right, super excited to jump into this interview. Before we do, just a quick word from our business, True Form Life. Devin and I, on this interview, are going to talk about the benefits of strength training. So what better time to talk about what we offer at True Form Life? So this is what we do. We create at-home workouts so you can work out in the comfort of your own home. You don't have gym memberships. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to wait for equipment. Some people love classes, which is perfectly okay, but other people like to work out at home, and they like to kind of do their own thing on their own schedule. So everyone's a little bit different depending on what you're looking for, but we really think throughout this interview we're going to share ideas and suggestions, and I suppose argue that if you want to be a better runner, if you want to increase your times, if you want to be healthier and strong and prevent injuries, that strength training is the way to go. So if we can help out with that, please let us know. We also have a free 10-day fitness challenge at trueformlife.com/DrewApprovedFitnessChallenge. So you can definitely give that a try to see if that works for you. And we're always here to reach out. So please let us know if we can help out. I hope that you enjoy this interview, and I hope you get some new insights on strength training along with running. Again, more details are at trueformlife.com. Welcome to another edition of Transformations Through Running. Super excited to have another guest on here with us. You heard all about Devin in the introduction. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Devin.
Thanks for having me, Drew. Excited to be here.
It's my pleasure. It's our pleasure. It's our listeners' pleasure to have you here with us. This is going to be a fun show. I think we got a lot in common. We got a nice little chemistry rolling already. Devin, let's take a moment here to give our listeners a chance to resonate with you for a moment. Who you are, what you do, how you got into it.
Yeah, so I'm a doctor of physical therapy. I work with Evolution Physical Therapy, based here in Los Angeles. I got into physical therapy as a high schooler. I was, playing all kinds of sports. I was also good at science, wanted to do something involved in healthcare, and that kind of steered me down the path of physical therapy. Went to college at Ithaca, got my doctorate there, and then worked in New York City in an outpatient orthopedic clinic for 4 years before moving to Los Angeles. Since being here, I've definitely gotten a lot more involved in the running and triathlon community. Obviously, those are two communities in Los Angeles that are really big and, popular sports here with the weather and how nice it is all year round. So it makes it really easy to embrace those sports. And, so I've really gotten a lot more into running over the past few years, and I got into some marathon training. I qualified for Boston the past 2 years, so I'm training for the Boston Marathon right now. And then, other than training for marathons, sometimes I'll dabble with a little bit of triathlon work too.
Wow, you got lots going on.
Yeah, and then to top it off, have a 3-month-old baby at home, so trying to balance all of that, but it's all exciting stuff.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in upstate New York near Syracuse, so much, much colder and snowier than it is here in February in Los Angeles right now, that's for sure.
It's always surprises me how many people are from the East Coast. It's crazy.
You know, it's pretty easy to buy into Southern California once you get out here. So
it's like
it's not surprising.
It's like everybody wants to be here. I've met very few people that are from here, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I make that comment all the time with my patients, where once in a while you come across somebody who is born and raised in LA, and you're like, oh, you're one of the actual people from Los Angeles.
One of the few.
Yeah, you don't see too many.
Okay, so very cool. You got all kinds of things going on. Today we're going to focus on strength training, maybe a bit of recovery in particular. Mm-hmm. So for you, how did you get into, like, I know you said you did some sports yourself. How did you get into physical therapy in particular? Did you know that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah. So, you know, in high school, I did track, I did basketball, and I played football. And actually, one of my best friends had a few ACL tears, and I kind of saw him doing his rehab at the time. He was a football player and track athlete with me. And so I thought, oh, man, this is pretty cool. This would be an interesting field to get into where, you know, for a living, you can help these other athletes recover from their injuries. So that kind of steered me down that path. And it's definitely, I think, been the right choice for me, and so it's been fun for sure.
Any challenges that you didn't expect? Completely off the wall question.
to be honest, I don't think so. I think that, you know, some of the reasons why I really enjoy physical therapy are a lot different than what I viewed going into it. But I think for the better, for sure. I think it's kind of brought, you know, out a lot of different attributes that are fun to learn, you know, from studying the human body, how the body works, how, you know, how we move. And then it was able to combine a lot of the, you know, I was already obviously playing football. I was doing a lot of strength training at the time. So combines a lot of exercise with the kind of problem solving component where you're trying to solve these issues, you know, especially when you're working with runners. You know, someone comes in and they're like, I have knee pain after running 9 miles. And you got to try to solve that for them. And I really love that component of problem solving where, you know, one of the reasons why I say it's probably a bit different than when I chose to go into physical therapy. So I was actually one of the few where when I was in high school said, oh, I want to be a physical therapist and kind of, you know, went all the way through with that. But at the time I thought it was, I want to work with sports teams and I want to get involved with that type of athletes. And, you know, as I've gotten older and grown in the field, like I said earlier, I really, really embrace the running and triathlete population. I think it's a really tight-knit group, especially here in Los Angeles, which makes it pretty cool. And I think that type of physical therapy is really fun to help these athletes problem solve their injuries because they have their goals. And, you know, I've listened to several of your podcasts on here and listening to all the different goals that these runners have. And that's kind of my daily life now at work, where I have all these runners and they come in and someone's trying to run the Boston Marathon. Someone's trying to run LA. Someone's trying to do an ultra. And, you know, they all have these different things that they're dealing with. And then you just try to help problem solve them with that. So it's been really, really fun.
What is one of the most common injuries that you deal with?
Oh, man. You know, I think there's a lot of just kind of people will call it runner's knee type of thing, where it's really more any conglomerate of some patellofemoral pain or IT man type pain. You know, so that's pretty common. And then a lot of issues down at the foot, whether it's an Achilles tendon issue or a plantar fasciitis. Those are probably the most common. And there's actually been a lot of hip impingement and hip labrum tears popping up lately in runners. That's been a bit more common recently. So, you know, really anything below the waist is your most common.
Yeah, I suppose there's not too many upper body injuries. Or is it?
Not too often. You know, you sometimes deal with runners with low back pain. And you know, that can be an issue, but it's definitely not as common just because of, you know, if you look at, the loads that are placed on the body, you know, they're much, much higher in the lower body, like your soleus muscle, for example, which is one of your calf muscles. It receives about 6 to 8 times your body weight in force when you're running. So, I mean, those are really high forces. So that's why you tend to get a lot of, Achilles tendon issues when you're running.
Did you say Achilles tendon or lower? We're talking about lower back.
Oh, I was saying, sorry. That's why the lower body happens a lot more frequently than the lower back. So things like your Achilles tendon, because of those high forces, you're much more likely to injure it there than you are your lower back.
Oh, I see.
The lower back just doesn't have as high of forces. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay, got it. No problem. Yeah. So I did an interview with someone else on my other podcast, Exploring Mind and Body, and he said that most lower back pain comes from tight glutes. Would you agree with that?
It can definitely be a thing. I think that there's definitely a lot of hip issues that cause lower back issues. But I think, a lot of lower back pain too is, people just aren't moving as much anymore. They're not, and they forget how to move their spines. And, so you see a lot of people that they can't flex their lower back because they're sitting in a chair all day, sitting at a desk. And then you watch them move and their spine moves like two boards instead of moving like a chain. So, so they tend to kind of lose mobility in certain parts of their back. But definitely the hips is a common area too. If people are too tight in their hips, then, it causes some compensation patterns in the lower back to increase some forces there.
What do you think about, so I'm going to use one of the perks of being a host of the show.
Yeah.
if anyone else has lower back pain, just because you brought it up, just for example. So I would, as an athlete for 10 years, I played professionally and I was like,
oh, sorry about that.
What was that?
I think it was a motorcycle outside.
I live right by the Catalina, so I can hear. Sometimes they just go ripping up here, and it like shakes the house.
Yeah.
So I was just going to ask you for about 10 years, I played like I was a high impact player. I stole bases. I dove in the outfield. If I wasn't the dirtiest player on the field, I didn't feel like I did my job.
That's awesome.
And I trained hard off season. At any rate, I have some lower back, and I would still work out on a regular basis, but I still have this chronic, it seems like chronic back pain. Like some days I'll wake up and I'm like, oh, that's tough. Like, and it's something that I almost feel like I've come accustomed to. I don't think about it too much other than some days it's quite a bit more painful than another day. So for any of our listeners, I know it's difficult just by talking here, but for any of our listeners that may be going through a bit of back pain, what would you suggest for them?
You know, one of my first things to do with a lot of my low back pain patients is, work on spinal segmentation. And so basically what that means is trying to get your vertebrae to all move independent of each other. So that kind of analogy I used before of how our back, a lot of people now, moves kind of like two boards instead of moving like a chain. To get our lumbar spine moving more regularly, we do these different spinal segmentation exercises, and one of my favorites is taking a traditional cat-cow that most people do, but I add a little twist to it we call it a thoracic blocked cat-cow, where you actually go down on your forearms and you're really just trying to focus on kind of the lower back, so from kind of your tailbone just up to your mid-back, kind of around your shoulder blades. And really focusing on moving kind of each segment separate of the next. So you kind of start at the bottom and almost create like a wave working up your back and then a wave working back down. We call those a segmented cat-cow. So it's a little bit different than what you see people doing a lot of the time in your yoga classes. But really focusing on that spinal segmentation component because like I said, people just aren't moving enough anymore, and we develop these poor movement patterns because the human race hasn't evolved yet to the point where we are now, where we're sitting at computers. You know, if you look at the history of millions of years that humans have been alive, majority of that they've been out, climbing trees and hunting and gathering, but now we kind of sit at desks and we sit in our cars and do things like that, and so you just don't get the same motion out of their spine. So I think if you teach your spine to segment well and move that every day, then it's kind of like squirting WD-40 into a joint there, where it just kind of, you know, gets the fluids moving and makes them move a little bit easier.
Yeah, for me, I get up and I stretch every morning, and I'll definitely try adding that in as well. But I think it's so important. Like, I feel like if you get up and stretch in the morning, just for example,
yeah,
it's part of my morning routine, but it makes my whole day easier just because I can move around. Like, I just function at a better level by taking a few minutes to get some stretches in during the day.
For sure, definitely. You know, got to move every joint every day. That's how the move it or lose it principle is definitely applies to the human body.
So let's talk a bit about strength training here. I know this is something that we wanted to talk about here, super important for our athletes, especially our runners. I feel like runners just run for the most part. Is that a fair assumption? That many of them have so many so they have to put so many miles on. I'd imagine it's tough to get in extra time to strength train, but is that something that you recommend?
Yeah. So there's a saying I like to use with our runners is, you know, you don't run to get strong, you get strong and then run. So you see a lot of people starting out running and they just jump right in and all of a sudden they're running 5 days a week, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. And a lot of these people would be better served of if they spent 2 days strength training instead of two of those runs, especially early on. And there's times of the year that's best to do, you know, to focus in on that strength training. So kind of in your preseason phases or kind of in between big training blocks is when you can really focus on some solid strength training. And then as you work into a bigger kind of, maybe you're working into a 16-week marathon training block, and then your strength training can reduce in frequency from there and even reduce in load. It doesn't have to be, you know, these big 60-minute long workouts where you're doing heavy squats and heavy deadlifts and things like that. You know, once you get into your training block for a marathon, you know, you can focus a little bit more on some lighter load things, some core work, some banded hip work, some things like that. And then when you're not into a big training block, that's where you can kind of focus more on some of the bigger lifts and really moving some more load. Because there's a lot of benefits from strength training. You know, from a performance standpoint, there's some research that shows that it can improve your running economy. It can improve your fatigue resistance. You know, it can improve your anaerobic capacity and your overall maximal speed. It also, from like an injury prevention standpoint, can, you know, improve some of your muscular tendinous stiffness. So we talked about the Achilles tendon earlier. And actually, Achilles tendon is one of those things where it's actually, if it's too loose, can be problematic because you rely on that tendon to give you, you know, some power propelling you forward. So you actually, you know, with running, if you have too little stiffness in your gait, it can actually become a bad thing from an injury component. So, so it can help with improving that area. And then also from that kind of injury prevention standpoint, running is such a sagittal plane movement, meaning running straight in forward, straight forward. And if you're not strengthening some of these rotational stabilizer muscles, then you really put yourself at risk of injury because you're not able to control the rotational forces in the stride. Every time your foot hits the ground, there's a lot of rotational forces that go through your foot, go through your hip. And if you can't control those, then you're just, you know, an injury waiting to happen. So there's definitely a lot of benefit there.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I always wondered why runners don't do strength training. Like, and I'm not quite sure the mindset. Maybe some of my future interviews I can ask that question. But it just makes a whole lot of sense to me. Like, for us, when I was a full-time athlete, we did strength training. I did it, you know, 4 days a week, along with I hit in the cages for hours, I threw for hours, and I did sprints on the track. Like, that was just part of my routine. And then you can look at Olympic athletes. Like, the Olympic athletes, they're spending time in the gym, and they're the best athletes in the world. So for us, if we want to become a better athlete, why aren't we spending more time in a strength training routine?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I see that all the time with patients that come in. And, you know, one of the first questions I ask when there's a runner with injuries is, you know, are you doing any other type of training? And most of the time the answer is no. Or maybe sometimes it's I do yoga once in a while or something like that, but they're not working on that strength training. And you're 100% right. Like, it's definitely something where all the pro elite teams in our country now, they're all incorporating strength training twice a week during their big training blocks. And those are guys who are running over 100 miles a week. And they're still strength training. Now, granted, that's their full-time job. So they could take naps every day to help recover. And where most of us can't do that. But that's where I think for the average kind of recreational runner, a lot of times they'd be better served to run one day less than add a day of strength training in there. And then, like I said, plan it well for the times when you're not on a big training block and focus on, more of a strength training routine.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. Is there a type of routine that you would recommend, or would you tell them to go to a gym, see a trainer? What is your recommendation when someone comes to you and is like, sure, I'd love to do that. How do I do it? What's my next step?
Yeah. So, obviously I'm in a different situation where people come in for me, I can do a whole kind of biomechanical assessment and find out what exercises are going to be good for them. But kind of in general, if you get some of the basics down, if you're able to squat, if you're able to deadlift, if you're able to do some step ups, and even one of my other favorites I use with pretty much all of my runners are some loaded carries. Where there's a lot of different variations of carries, like a farmer's carry march, where you're carrying weights in both hands and heavy weights, and you're just doing a march, and that's working on some stability of the lateral hip muscles, some core stability. So it has a lot of bang for your buck with that. So a lot of exercises like that, and then definitely hitting the core. A lot of different plank variations is effective. And then, we use a lot of different banded exercises too, where you're putting an elastic band around your knees to kind of get your hips working and work out some hip stability. Doing some exercises like some lateral walks, some monster walks, some lateral toe taps. So things that are really challenging those lateral hip muscles, that I kind of mentioned before, that, cause those really help to stabilize against those rotational forces that happen when your foot hits the ground while running. Those are some of the basics that you probably can't go wrong by incorporating all of those. And then, like I said, I'm lucky that when someone comes to me in my setting, I can, put them through a full evaluation and then give them a little bit more pinpointed, recommendations based on certain things we're seeing in their movement patterns.
Have you heard of the death race? Is that popular here? Or is
the death race? No, I have not.
Okay. I don't know if it's a thing, big thing in Canada, but I've heard about it. I know some people that have competed in the number. It's a 24-hour race. It's up this mountain. You run through the night in the dark. You have to have this coin. You keep this coin, and then you get to near the end, and you have to give the person on the ship that takes you like a little way across to give them the coin. If you don't have the coin, they don't let you go across. It's crazy. They're running throughout. Yeah, they're running throughout the night. Most people do it in teams. Some people do it. There's a small handful of people that do it individually. And we actually have a show. Maybe I'll link it in the show notes, but I put it on Exploring Mind and Body. I just wanted to mention a friend of mine. He came. We didn't know each other at the time, but he came to me and he said, I haven't been able to break any records, or I haven't been able to reach a PR anytime recently. So he's like, I need something, and I want to do this death race. What can I do? So he came to me. I developed a program for him, worked him out a couple times a week, and every time he went out, he was breaking a new record.
It was crazy.
And I'm saying like, there's not like a secret to it. It's like, if you put in a little bit of extra time, if you have someone develop a program for you, you can go and do new things. Like, if we're doing the same thing over and over again, we don't give ourselves the ability to see more results. So I just thought it was cool. He went out, we trained, I helped him work through the death race, and we trained him. I pushed him really hard, and he's able to complete that death race. And then throughout his other runs as well, he just kept progressing. I just thought it was so cool to see, but it was also really clear because he was doing zero strength training before he came to me. Just a regular runner, ran every day as often as he could. and then saw clear results after he started working out regularly.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, and I think that's a pretty common thing you see with runners once they start to add that in, is they see those benefits of improving their running economy, improving their speed. So that's a great real life example, Drew.
Thank you. So for you for you personally, you're training for the Boston. What does your training schedule look like?
You know, so right now, as you know, I mentioned earlier, having the 3-month-old daughter, it's been a little bit less consistent than I'd like to.
You just chase her around the house.
Yeah, right. I mean, and when I say that, like, I'm still getting at least 4 days of running a week. My ideal would probably be 6 days. So I kind of have a plan built out where it incorporates 6 days of training a week. And usually 3 of those days are just easy runs somewhere in the kind of 6 to 8 mile range. And then 2 days are more speed workouts. You know, I might do a track workout one day and another more kind of tempo workout another day. And then, you know, on Saturdays are usually my long run day. And, you know, that kind of progresses throughout the training block, and sometimes add some workouts in the long runs where you might do a fast finish for your last, you know, 4 or 6 miles, or might incorporate a workout in the middle of the long run. And then Sunday's usually my rest day. You know, usually, you know, right now I spend most of the weekend, you know, just hanging out with my daughter and my wife, and makes for a good recovery on, you know, Saturday afternoon and then Sunday. So
are you going to Boston this year?
April 20th.
Okay, awesome. And do you feel like you're on track to make that happen? Make that happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely be able to finish Boston Marathon. You know, I went into this training block saying, yeah, I'm not going to go into it thinking I'm going to PR. So I got my PR at the LA Marathon last year in a 2:58. And then, you know, I was pretty pumped about that. And then going into Boston, I was like, you know what, I'm going to build a training block. And if I'm able to execute it, and then I'll try to really race Boston and see if I can get better than you know, last year's LA Marathon time. But, you know, with family duties right now, if I'm not able to hit as many workouts as I'd like, and then I'll just enjoy the race and, you know, run a little bit more casually, but still be able to give a good effort. So we'll definitely, you know, people talk about Boston Marathon as more of a celebration of running than a race where you're really going out to kind of crush your goals, because it does tend to be a little bit of a challenging course too. And it's kind of more for fun for a lot of people, unless you're one of those elites that's towing the line to try to go out there and win it, which is definitely not me.
Well, it sounds like I got a chance to witness the New York Marathon, and it was pretty crazy. I could only imagine that Boston would be similar. So I think that just going out and enjoying the atmosphere is probably something that is going to be, you know, enough to be like, I was there, I ran it, and I had a good run and really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I have some other friends who are running it, have a lot of family who are going to come out and watch and cheer me on. Being from the East Coast, most of my family's back there, so a lot of them haven't even really watched me compete in a marathon yet, because most of that has taken place since I moved out to California a little over 5 years ago. So it'll be fun to kind of see all them for it.
So for you, I like to ask my runners, my guests this, because I like to visualize what's going through your minds or what's going through your body when you're going through some challenging points in your life. What, it was specifically racing, but is there one time in one of your runs that you have been like, I'm not going to do this, or what have I got myself into? And then you were able to either push through, or maybe you didn't push through and you learned a lot from that lesson.
Yeah, so I mean, I think my whole, you know, Boston, getting into Boston thing is a kind of a good story for that. So 2 years ago, I qualified for Boston, but I ended up not getting in. So if you're familiar with a qualification standard, how it works for Boston, there's a standard based on your age and sex. And for me, 2 years ago, it was a 3:05. And I ran a 3:01, and then after everyone registers based on the, you know, amount of people who qualify, they cut down again, and they basically cut it down almost 5 minutes from there. So I got kind of nipped in the end and didn't get to run last year. So then going into this training block, maybe more motivated, and they actually reduced all the qualifying standards by 5 minutes going into this past year. So I knew I had to set a PR in order to qualify, and I also had to beat it by a good amount based on previous experience. And so kind of in LA this year, I was aiming for a 255 going into it to try to give myself enough buffer, but I said, as long as I go under three, I'll be happy. And kind of around mile 24, I started to get some cramping in my hamstrings. And at the time, I was on pace to be kind of between 255 and 256. And, so my hamstrings cramped, kind of seized up on me. I had to stop and stretch for a minute and then kind of make myself get going again. And, as I turned on to Ocean down the final stretch, there's probably, a little under a half a mile left, but you can really see the finish line in the distance. And, at that point, you don't know what that cutoff is going to be. So I knew I was going to come in under three, but I didn't know how much I had to come in under three in order to get into Boston. And so I was just kind of going down that home stretch on Ocean, trying to give everything I had left and fighting off the cramps. It was literally saying in my head, please don't cramp, please don't cramp, please don't cramp, because you could feel them start to really seize up. And so I came across that, I think it was 2:58 and 9 seconds, and I ended up beating the cut down by 14 seconds. So it was a good thing that I was giving everything I had down that home stretch and kind of bearing through that pain and fighting off those cramps there, because, any little hiccup at that point, then I wouldn't have gotten in. So, that was a good example of that, I think.
That's awesome. So when you're sitting there on the side stretching, what are you thinking? Like, I got to hurry up and stretch because my time is ticking?
Pretty much. I mean, I was pissed at first, like you're like, oh man, I was doing so well in this race. I hit, all of my previous marks in the race were, ahead of time. And then that happened and you got frustrated and you're like, okay, let me stretch. And then you play this game in your head of like, did I stretch enough? Like, is this cramp going to stay away? And am I going to be able to start running again? So you kind of start with speed walking a little bit and then you're like, okay, now I can start running and you get your legs moving. And so it was definitely frustrating, but then, once I was able to get across the finish line, it was definitely worth it.
Is it hard to stop? Like for me, I'm not a runner like most of you guys that are on the show, but when I'm running, it's hard for me to stop and then go again. Like I don't want to stop. Like for me to get going again, it seems like it takes way more effort than just to keep going. It sounds like you didn't have a choice in this regard, but is it hard for you to stop and then keep going, or does it matter for you? You just take a break and can get back at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard. You like to keep your momentum going. Unfortunately, I didn't have a choice on the stopping there, where if I tried to go through that cramp, I would have fallen on my face. So once that hamstring grabs you, there's no choice but to stretch. And then, it's definitely hard once you kind of break your momentum and allow some of that fatigue to set in. It gets challenging.
Do you look at nutrition at all with what you do? Is that something that you do personally, maybe even recommend a little bit to your clients, or is that something you don't really consider at all?
I do a lot. There's a few different areas you can go in nutrition. I eat mostly a plant-based diet. I'm not crazy strict on it, but I try to go mostly plant-based, and that's been kind of over the past 2+ years, and I think that's definitely helped with some recovery, reducing inflammation, that type of thing. But I don't really talk about that aspect with clients a lot. Like if I'll tell them like, hey, like, if they're dealing with a lot of chronic issues, where looking into an anti-inflammatory diet can be important. But I'm definitely not a nutritionist, and you can debate till the cows come home about whether you should go plant-based or not. So it's just not an area I try to get into too much unless clients ask me why I do it, and then I'll give them my understanding of the research out there. When it comes to race nutrition, I actually worked with Jeff Rothschild. He's actually now in New Zealand, but at the time was in in Santa Monica at the TriFit gym, and he's currently getting his PhD in nutrition in New Zealand. He's a registered dietitian where he works with a lot of triathletes and endurance athletes, and you know, I worked on with him on getting my in-race nutrition right. To make sure I was getting in enough carbs and enough electrolytes and enough fluids and all that. And I think it's definitely huge. A lot of people don't have their nutrition dialed in for race day, and he definitely helped a lot with that.
Awesome. I'm glad he was able to help you out.
Yeah, for sure.
Devin, is there anything that we missed before we wrap things up? It's perfectly okay if you think we got everything, but I want to give you a chance to mention anything if we missed anything throughout the interview.
Yeah. So, I think a few things that I probably should have touched on a little bit when you're asking about my training, since the component of this is kind of strength training for both performance and injury prevention. And, when I'm training for a race like Boston right now, you know, my strength training changes pretty dramatically because I've just found that, my joints don't handle high forces of doing more heavier squats or heavier deadlifts while I'm putting all the miles in. But it doesn't mean you can't strength train, and that, you know, that incorporates more kind of lower level exercises, like some of those banded exercises I was talking about, or even some things like some single leg bridges and some core work and things like that to help at least keep some of those stabilizer muscles working well. So I think that's really important for people to incorporate still while they're training for a bigger race. And then, one of the recommendations I think I make for a lot of runners, whether you're a newer runner or someone who's a little bit more experienced, is make sure you have a PT or some sort of rehab professional kind of in your corner who knows running and understands the forces of running, understands the demands on the body that you can go to for help. And it doesn't mean you have to be seeing them regularly, but, you know, establish that relationship with someone so that, you know, when you have any kind of little niggle creep up on you, like, oh, I'm having a little nagging knee pain after these runs, where you can go in and get it treated right from the start. And you don't, you know, typically if you tackle these things earlier on in their lifespan, they don't last very long. It's when you kind of wait until you get to the point where you can't run anymore, that then it knocks you out of your training for a couple weeks. So, you know, I've had a lot of runners and a lot of triathletes over the years that will, you know, they'll just come in for check-ins once in a while, and if they have something creeping up, they'll call me and be like, hey, I'm dealing with this, can I come in? And, it really helps them keep moving and keep them from missing workouts. And I think if you talk to any professional runner, they're going to tell you they're working with their rehab professionals all the time to stay healthy. And I think that's something that most amateur runners aren't doing because they just want to run. If you have that rehab professional that can kind of work with you on that, you can find out those specifics of which exercises you can do to keep you healthy. Or if you need to have a joint assessed to say, oh, some, you know, your left hip isn't moving right, or your right big toe isn't moving right, or there's a weakness in your right glute med, or different things like that, where they can kind of point out some specifics where it might just be adding two or three exercises kind of before or after your runs, that really makes a big difference. So, you know, I think for runners, we need to get out of the viewpoint of like, I just want to run, and start to, get help from people who understand the demands on the body and can steer you in the right direction by just giving you a couple exercises, a couple correctives there that can help keep you moving and keep you healthy.
Yeah, and it's probably nice to have someone that knows you and that you know you feel comfortable going to them, and they already know your history, so it's not like starting out all over again every time you have to go see someone.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, make sure it's someone who understands running, because there's a lot, even just, you know, we do gait analysis when people come in, and we get them on the treadmill and watch them run, and you might be able to make small little tweaks to the gait that can kind of change the way that the forces are being loaded in your body to offload certain injuries. And, there's a lot of things that you can get help with that I just think a lot of times people don't quite get unless they start to get, you know, ask for help from a rehab professional there. So it can really go a long ways to help keep you healthy and keep you running.
All right, Devin, what about if someone wants to contact you, or if they want, maybe they could ask you some questions, or they can come in and see you. Do you have any details for us there?
Yeah, for sure. So, as I mentioned, I'm with Evolution Physical Therapy. So you can find us on our website at evolutionphysicaltherapy.com. I see patients in our South Bay location, so they can get right on there and they can call over to our office there. If you want to ask me specifically a question, you can send me a direct message on Instagram. I'm always happy to chat with people on there. My Instagram handle is D Blessing PT, so Blessing as my last name, DBLESSING PT. I'll admittedly, my social media game has not been very good since the baby came along. It's kind of taken a back seat, but I still answer questions if people reach out to me. I'm happy to help. And then, like I said, so you can either contact me there or give our office a call, and if you want to come in to get kind of more of a individualized assessment.
Awesome, Devin. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise and your stories with us. All the best with your little one and with Boston as well.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in. We always appreciate your downloads, your subscriptions, your comments about the show, letting us know how we're doing. I hope you got something out of that. I hope you understand that without question, combining your running with resistance training or strength training will definitely make a difference without question. So you're welcome to give our program a try. Again, that's at trueformlife.com/DrewApprovedFitnessChallenge. It's on the homepage there. Or if you have any issues finding it, shoot me a message. It's absolutely free. It's 10 days. It's 10 different at-home workouts. It's like a 10-day challenge that you can try and see how you like resistance training. Full body weight exercises, functional movements is going to help in many different ways. You can find us on social media, facebook.com/trueformlife. That's our business page. We post usually a couple times a day. We're going up on our stories all about nutrition, fitness, lifestyle, how we can help improve your health as a whole. You can also find us at instagram.com/drewtadia. Easily found there. We're on stories. We're posting about our contests and giveaways, more nutrition, fitness. We have some videos, short videos going up there, all to help you improve your health as well. Once again, thank you so much for being here, and we hope to catch you on the next show.